Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark!
Wrestle me, Peter!
We're back with more SummerSlam.
That was like a really bad... There's a terrible pilot, which you're going to have to watch at some point, which is called Tag Team.
Okay.
Where they team up... it's a drama, and they team up Roddy Piper and Jesse Ventura.
Oh, nice.
And I believe they're sort of like law enforcement.
Oh, no.
I can't quite remember. I saw it years and years ago.
What, is it like a sketch or... No, it's like a pilot.
Like a drama.
Good God.
You know what Jesse people Ventura's want to see? Like, well, I mean that was the funny thing. Roddy Piper, Roddy Piper had a good career as well. I mean, Hell Comes to Frogtown is a good, is a good film. The classic They Live by John Carpenter. He's very good in that. He's not the best, really. He's actually quite bad in They Live.
Is Jesse Ventura any good as an actor?
Do you know what? He's actually... really quite good. I mean, he's in Predator and stuff like that. He's brilliant in Predator. But you can slightly... He just plays Jesse Ventura. Yeah. He's a former Navy SEAL. And so he's got that real hard man. When he's dressed up in Predator as a soldier, that seems like second nature to him. Mm. He's actually good. Why are we talking about 1992's tag team? We're here to talk about SummerSlam 88.
SummerSlam 88!
We're literally putting off the thing that we waited to talk about for fucking ages, which is... It's the match is Rick Rude versus Junkyard Dog.
Oh, right. Oh, God. I mean...
Wow, Mr. Rude. You're coming out here and wrestling like that? Oh.
We talk about it, Macho Man Steamboat being like one of the best matches we've seen in previous shows and stuff. But seeing Rick Rude sitting on Junkyard Dog's chest with Junkyard Dog's face on his own arse is something else.
Do you know what? It's niche.
Getting triple headbutted, Rick Rude getting triple headbutted by Junkyard Dog out of the ring is the best thing I think I've seen
that
in this
really,
run of shows.
That really is good. I tell you what, he also takes a backdrop that is out of this world. He is remarkable. What's really funny in this is they've done the thing where they try and find the women in the audience as Rick Rude is in the crowd. In the ring. And as they do that, the people they find, they're not fucking about, these ones. And the women are literally biting their lips going... like that. Everyone looks like they are laser focused on Rick Rude.
His abs.
It's an amazing thing to watch. Oh, man.
Like, once again, I want to fuck Ravishing Rick Rude. Or I want him to fuck me.
The saddest thing about this is knowing that this can't happen.
No.
It can't happen.
Could happen. So I narrow my eyes.
Think Dark about Web Donaldson.
The shovel I could buy. There's a woman in the audience with a flat camera.
Yeah.
Like one of those old is it Instamatic? I don't know what you call it, but like those old flat cameras. And she's got...
The flash bulbs.
And you forget about those flash bulbs that used to rotate sometimes, or there used to be like loads of them.
Yep. And they were expensive as well. And they sort of like, you use one and it'd be like, oh, that's
30p.
Done. Yeah. Just insane, isn't it? When you think about it, it's incredible.
But there's like seven of them piled on top of each other.
Yeah.
A weird like Lego or something.
That is mental when you think about it. When you used to go out and you'd go, sometimes you'd take one of those and you'd go, oh my God, they've all been used. Oh God, we can't take any photos of us at this Chinese restaurant. It would be like that.
It's crazy.
It's so amazing seeing that. It's like someone holding up a fax machine in the crowd. You just go, wow, that's old-fashioned. Rick Rude, as you say, has got the greatest tights on, which are, he's got Junkyard Dog on the groin and the arse.
There is a, I tweeted a video of me seeing, watching the reveal of his pants with a really good approximation of Junkyard Dog's face, and I cannot stop laughing in the video. And that's like the seventh time I watched that.
The funniest thing about it is on the back, there's a picture of Junkyard Dog where he's got like a fishing hat on. It's sort of like a navy green, almost like an army cap. And I was thinking, I've never seen Junkyard Dog
wearing a hat.
So all that can have happened is that must have been, Rick Rude must have said, I'm getting my tights done. Can I have a couple of photos of you and I'll get them to do the tights? So Junkyard Dog's got like his family photos and gone, here's one of me having a nice fish and going, lovely, we'll put that on. And the other thing I love so much about it is the reveal in this, which is the match itself with Junkyard Dog. And this is Junkyard Dog's, I think, last pay-per-view. So he goes to NWA and stuff like that from here. But in this, it's really just a precursor to the big feud that Rick Rude's going to have with Jake Roberts.
Yes.
And part of that is he's hit on Jake Roberts' real-life wife, Cheryl, in the crowd, and then Jake Roberts has like come out and gone, that's my fucking wife, and it's all gone from there.
Yeah.
So there's a bit here where he pulls down the Junkyard Dog tights to reveal he's wearing ones with Cheryl Roberts' face on.
Yes.
Then outruns
I didn't really know who that woman was. Like,
no.
Because I was like, well, he's just got more pants on with a woman's face on it.
Back in these days, there were literally Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And that was the only, and Sherry.
Yeah,
the two types of woman, the saint and the whore, the Elizabeth and the Sherry. And so when they brought in this sort of Cheryl Roberts thing, as a fan, you knew exactly that those were Cheryl Roberts on his tights.
Right, okay.
The best thing about it is they do a side view of it. And so Rude's dick is like, it makes a nose on the Cheryl Roberts. It's a byproduct that no one saw coming, and it's like, that is brilliant.
Hey, Snake, your wife's, your wife's nose in my dick.
You want to see your wife's nose get bigger, Snake? What? What are we doing here?
Want to see your wife with a fucking cold?
Repulsive.
Extremely yellow snack.
Repulsive.
Oh,
it's worth mentioning as well, in case the Harris Brothers lawyer is listening, we do want to stress that despite his name Junkyard Dog, he is neither part junkyard nor part dog.
Correct.
That was their a defense there for Nazism. Rude is great in this as well. I mean, he's just on fucking fire throughout this. He's astonishing. The way that he just looks blankly when it's Jake Roberts. I've actually watched two SummerSlams, and this has a very similar ending to the one he has at Ultimate Warrior in 89, which is Roddy Piper comes to the ring.
Right.
On this one, he just looks blankly. It's really good. Like, he's furious that Jake Roberts is even there. It's such a good performance. I think it's just, it's just brilliant.
Yeah.
Jake comes out and looks iconic as well, so it ends in, like, a disqualification. Mm. Weirdly, it's a funny thing, this SummerSlam. Even though it's like a disqualification, it's entirely the right call. And the crowd go nuts for it because you've got Jake Roberts running in and it's exciting.
There, yeah.
And Jake Roberts does a really clever thing as well of when they sort of go the winner by disqualification, Rick Rude. He goes, fuck, you know, bollocks. I've handed him a victory. Really cleverly done. Jake Roberts is wearing snakeskin boots in this. I was thinking, you know, if you like fucking snakes so much, don't be like, I like Daisy Ridley, the actress. I think she's absolutely delightful.
Yeah.
I ain't going to wear a pair of boots made out of Daisy Ridley.
No. And that is to your credit. You are very much not an inner city sweat hog. You are a respectful gentleman.
I'm going to have that. Like Gorilla Monsoon has, will you stop? And it says he has. I'm going to have never wore a pair of boots made out of the actress Daisy Ridley. Brackets who he never met. The only reason. Match four. We have a little interview with Honky Tonk Man, and he's actually really good in the interview. He's surprisingly good in this, Honky. It's a good SummerSlam for him.
Don't call him Honky.
People do call him Honky.
Did they call
wrestling.
Him Honky?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. It's just... someone did a tweet, which I really liked as well, where they were talking about when they watched this as a youngster, they presumed that Honky Tonk Man, he said I was at number one in the charts, they were like, he must be because he's saying it. You just don't know.
It was Clarence Worley on Twitter said, young me used to think things like the Honky Tonk Man had the number one song in the country was real. I just assumed it was huge where I didn't live.
I vaguely remember him doing the WrestleMania 6 one. So I was about 13. And I remember thinking, I wonder where I can get that. I wonder if they will have Hunker, 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 Honky Love. And now I look back on it, I kind of go, yes, it's a good merchandising thing. There's a superstar called Elias, and he has a guitar gimmick, and he has just released an album which has gone to number 14 on iTunes. You know, so they're very joined
they
up
can
now.
Do it, yeah.
And I do find myself thinking, why did they spend so long with Honky Tonk Man recording songs that they never did anything with? It's like a sort of mad rich man's thing. just bizarre. It really is.
Massive folly.
It really is. Honky, you've got to go, you know, got to get to the studio before you go wrestling. You've got to record this. Why?
Yeah,
Why am I doing this?
Yeah, I've got so much to get paid for this. No, this is all part of your character.
Tell everyone about the concert you did last night. I didn't do a concert. Play a fucking long. You did the concert, didn't you, in front of 16,000 people? What's real? What's not? This is insane. The fourth match is the Powers of Pain with the Baron versus the Bolsheviks with Slick. The Powers of Pain brought over from the NWA because Vince McMahon couldn't get the Road Warriors, who he really wanted.
Right.
And they were like a sort of clone of the Road Warriors who had a feud. This is the Warlord, who is Dave Batista's favourite wrestler. Warlord's got a funny thing here, because when they take off the face paint, normally you sort of have a normal look. But he's got like he's got two side bits of hair.
Oh yeah,
one's dyed black and the other is bright ginger. And that, I mean, you would just look bizarre. You'd look really fucking weird.
The thing with like costumes and stuff, you kind of have to be symmetrical, don't you?
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Absolutely, you don't want anything that makes you stand out. You know, when you've got it off, that's the thing. Otherwise, you're living your gimmick and you've gone mad. This is one really weird thing. I had no recollection of a character called the Baron at all.
Right,
and I did not know. And what he is an old AWA wrestler called Baron von Raschke. Mm. And Baron von Raschke had a Nazi gimmick in the 60s that was really, really big. He used to all the goose stepping and stuff. And he turns up here as the manager. He was only around for 3 months, but I had no idea Baron von Raschke was in the WWF, even for a little bit. It's quite funny actually seeing him on this one, because there's been a story really recently about a teacher who has been wrestling in the States calling himself Blitzkrieg, and he does a Nazi gimmick where he gives the Nazi salute and he wears an Iron Cross. But he's also a teacher. He works he works as a teacher at Springford Intermediate School. And the school board was sent a video of him doing this Nazi character. And so now they've begun saying, right, well, we're going to investigate all of this. There is something funny. We talked about this how you sort of, in the old days, like Baron von Raschke, he was doing this in the 60s, and that's 15 years after the war. So it would be sort of like now, if we were looking back, so 2003.
Yeah.
So you'd probably be doing, what, Islamist terrorism?
Yeah, probably.
There's a funny sort of way about how you do it that it works. There's a British wrestler I've talked about him before who does a Tory gimmick, and he's strong and stable, that sort of thing, and he comes out with his bottle of champagne and things, and that seems like good satire. This guy called Blitzkrieg, who is just wearing, I don't know, I feel a bit uncomfortable about it.
Well, when people are so many millions of people were murdered by,
and when it's on the rise at the minute as well,
it seems almost
but then
like,
again, maybe he gets the shit beaten out of him and that's his way of sort of going, look at me, I'm a horrible Nazi like all the horrible Nazis. It's difficult to know, isn't it?
The problem is, you really can't be nuanced. You can't be that nuanced in wrestling, because people can take it either way. Some rather unsavory individual will see him as some kind of like hero.
100%.
Or even anti-hero, and the rest of the people will be like, 100%.
There was a wrestler in 1995 in WCW that they brought in. He was an actor called Jeep Swenson. He played Bane in the first time he turns up in Batman. Christopher Nolan ones.
Oh, I know what you mean. I think it was Batman and Robin, wasn't
That's
it?
That's right, Batman and Robin. And I think he's also, he played Sabretooth in an early X-Men, something like that. He's since died. But they brought him in very briefly.
He was a big guy.
He died very, very young, suspiciously young, 36 or something like that. But they brought him into WCW just for one-off, and they called him the Final Solution. And immediately someone sort of said, you know, you do realise what the Final Solution was, and they went, gosh, no, we hadn't sort of really thought, you know, we just thought it was a catchy name. Well, they changed
but
his name
obscene.
To the Ultimate Solution.
Right, okay.
Which is, again, you sort of go, mate, the Final
really
Solution is the fucking Holocaust.
Yeah.
And you've gone, in fact, I think there is a Mexican wrestler called Holocaust. There's a Mexican wrestler called Stuka. I mean, you know, there's something really uncomfortable
Hamza.
About it. Yeah, I mean, you know,
the Goebbels.
Blitzkrieg is not the first time as well that the name has been used. There was a WCW high flyer called Blitzkrieg.
Yeah.
He only had a short career. He sort of, I think, fell
but
out of love.
I think Blitzkrieg was kind of co-opted by like the Ramones, stuff like that. That's part of it. But when you're using stuff like the Final Solution, it's just...
Yeah.
You're literally talking about a generation
I know.
Of Jewish, disabled, gay people going to their deaths.
It's not like you name a wrestler and it goes through one person.
No.
And you go, gosh, that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's gone through a lot of people.
You don't just turn up on that and go, this is who I am there tonight.
And if they don't know... Why the fuck don't they know? You know, absolutely fucking disgraceful. Baron von Raschke, who is just here very, very briefly, he was famous as the originator of the claw hold. Like George Animal Steel as well, he was also a substitute teacher.
Right.
Which is a sort of funny thing with this other substitute teacher doing the Nazi gimmick now, getting in trouble in a way that Baron von Raschke was fine in the 60s and 70s.
He is not, Blitzkrieg is not going to be getting a school field.
No.
Named after him.
No,
like George Steele.
Not one bit. So that's this episode's Nazi chat wrapped up.
Yay!
Yay, thank God
there's
that's
always
over.
A little bit of it.
I know. This is a tawdry sport. Slick looks clean tonight,
Slick.
Says superstar Billy Graham. Slick is with the Bolsheviks.
Yes.
I'm not sure why they put their sort of like jive talking pimp with the communist sort of thing. It's not really very well worked out, but this is from an industry who have never heard of the Final Solution.
No,
so
exactly.
What can we expect? This match is very much what people must think wrestling is like if they hate it. It's just four big lumps waddling about, just rolling
costumes.
About like big fatty lumps.
I'm this man. I'm this character today.
I'm shouting Russian too.
Slick, I'm wearing a double-breasted jacket.
I'm monster. I'm monster man. And I'm the Final Solution.
Oh, no.
God, go away. And then we get Brother Love.
Mark's Jewish. Disclaimer, Mark's Jewish.
Then we get Brother Love, who is always your heart sinks.
I hate you.
Very good, very good.
Oh,
man.
Brother Love. He slows everything down.
Oh, doesn't
he's
he?
Like... Rumble strips.
Oh,
in a cut.
or the band off. At a festival.
Nobody remembers the rumble strips.
This is Hacksaw Jim Duggan is his guest.
To be fair, I didn't mind this one as much as the rest of Brother Love's work, but
no,
I still hated it.
It's short-ish, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan looks genuinely angry with him quite a lot of the time, which is good. Hacksaw Jim Duggan comes down for 10 minutes and just threatens him.
Yeah.
So Brother Love will sort of say something along the lines of, you know, when are you going to challenge for a belt? And Hacksaw goes, I'm going to smash your face in. So that's sort of enjoyable. Hacksaw's wearing a great T-shirt, which is of himself, like a line drawing of himself with his name on it as well in big things. I think everyone should wear them. And then you'd be like, oh, I know who this guy is now. All right, Alan. With one of your things, like he's got his 2x4, and so it'd be like, oh, I see you like records, Alan. It'd be a really good way. We'd all get to know each other. It'd be really sweet. Duggan walks in a good way. That's about the only thing you can say about him. He struts about.
He's got a good old gait.
But yeah, it's appalling other than that.
Yeah.
You get the fifth match now, Intercontinental Champion Honky Tonk Man versus Mystery Man.
Mystery Man!
Who turns out to be the Ultimate Warrior.
Yes.
There is a huge, huge explosive pop when the Ultimate Warrior comes out.
It is amazing. But you do sort of think he puts on a lot of makeup for 31 seconds, I think. I can't wait.
Yeah. No, it really is quick.
Oh, what a waste of time.
What's funny about this is like Honky Tonk Man had been the Intercontinental Champion for over a year.
Right.
He'd had it a year, 2 months and 27 days.
Mm.
Longest reigning Intercontinental Championship of all time. And you can really see that they were like, you know, oh, let's just destroy him. That'll be hilarious. That'll really get Warrior off to a start. Honky Tonk Man was really worried about being injured by Warrior in this because he was
really,
just so careless. So normally you're supposed to be on your front and then Warrior does a splash on your back and he would pin you. But Honky Tonk Man was like, I am not just going to turn my head and have him take care of this. So Honky goes on his back and gets splashed on his belly.
Right.
So he can sort of like tense and he can see what's going on. Honky was everyone he worked with hurt him. He was always, everyone he said, oh, they're really, you know, really terrible. They really injured me, you know. So this is quick. But the crowd go absolutely, I mean, Gorilla says one of his classic catchphrases, which is
shit.
The place has gone bananas.
Yeah.
And they really, really have. They go absolutely loopy.
Yeah.
The other thing that they did, they never had like short title changes like this.
Mm.
And they never had that thing of this was a, you know, you can see people are so excited to see who it's going to be.
Yeah.
And it's Warrior and it's all like boom. And this is this generation kicking off.
Right. Okay.
So Warrior has never really been in the main event. Suddenly he's the Intercontinental Champion. And that was like, you know, that made you the number two person in the business. Mm. And it was just, thrilling to watch this.
And as a character, he looks so different and more exciting than Honky Tonk. Because Honky Tonk's, you know, it's a jobber's kind of look, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really?
And it's a sort of strange thing. He's a sort of Elvis impersonator. And it's just, Elvis is long gone by this point. And it just seems like a weird hangover. What was funny about this is they had, they did a load of television tapings, which they do, so they'd have the weekly shows, and they'd record about sort of 4 to 6 at once, and then they'd go out. So the ones they recorded before SummerSlam, they wanted the Warrior to come out with the belt on, but of course, if they did that, they'd be giving away that he wins it at SummerSlam. Mm. So at each of these tapings, the Warrior had a match with Honky Tonk Man that he won, where he won the belt. Then they'd record the next 4 weeks' worth of things as him as the champion. And at the end, they'd come out and go, oh, there was a problem with the match. He's not the champion after all. He'll have to give it back to the Honky Tonk Man. And they did this, I think, on three occasions. So he actually, by winning this one, he'd actually won it 3 times previously the same week.
Oh, Honky Tonk Man constantly getting beaten by Ultimate Warrior, just reliving the same horrible match over and over again.
Yeah, and then Bobby Heenan turns up at the end of this to do a bit of commentary, and it's just, he lifts the entire thing.
Yeah, Heenan and Graham do some jokes. Quite enjoyed them.
Yes.
Little jokes.
Yep.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's early, don't start, please!
Well, sixth match here is The Rock, Don Morocco versus Dino Bravo with Frenchie Martin. The original Rock, Don Morocco.
Yes.
Yeah, a huge star in the early 80s.
In a bit of tie-dye, lovely.
Yeah, he had some iconic matches. One of them, Superfly Jimmy Snuka doing the splash off the top of the cage, which Mick Foley was at watching Madison Square Garden, and that was a real kind of key moment in the birth of hardcore wrestling. People,
oh, really?
People look back on that. He was like, I want to throw myself off the top of the cage. It literally was that,
table.
Yeah.
Because obviously we haven't touched massively on Mick Foley before, but like I think some of the more dangerous things I've seen in wrestling is definitely Mick Foley jumping off the top of a big old cage.
Yes, yeah, that really, I mean, that again changed the business and probably not for the better.
No.
There's a school of thought which would have it that Mick Foley and the things he did raised the bar too high,
yeah,
and that it's very difficult to climb down from that point. So you
jump off, mate.
Well, I mean, we'll see this when you get to that era of WrestleManias. Mm. It is a thing they had to dial back on, and when they dialed back, it took a long time for people to
readjust.
Stop going, this is shit, compared to what we used to see.
Right.
So Foley, you know, I really enjoyed his work. I think he seems like a great guy. Mm. I think some of the stuff that he did was really problematic, but we'll get to that. Like millennials,
we'll get to that.
You know, I find it's another one of these things where I go to one of these fancy soirees and I say, I do find, you know, some of Mick Foley's body of work actually quite problematic these days. Don Morocco's funny. They had a little gimmick where he had no respect for a jobber that he was wrestling. And so during the match, he ate a submarine sandwich and drank a Pepsi while he was beating him up, which I think is a really sort of funny little thing.
There's a lot of variety in this SummerSlam, isn't there? It seemed to be a bit more fun. There was a lot more fun there than the WrestleMania stuff.
It really is. I found this a really, really easy watch.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I thought some of the matches were brilliant. Mm. Some of the matches were fun. It was nice to see some people who were old hands, who were just, you know, seeing their careers out. And I really, really enjoyed SummerSlam. Mm. I thought it was one of my favourite pay-per-views I think I've watched. Mm. I don't remember it being as good as this. Mm. I really, really enjoyed it. Don Morocco also had a famous sort of story, a bit like Ken Patera's, where he, Roddy Piper, and Cowboy Bob Orton, who is the father of Randy Orton,
right,
they all went out and they were just got really, really pissed. They went to an off-licence at 3 a.m. They got kicked out because Piper started a fight. They managed to get their car stuck on some train tracks, so it was wedged between them. So Morocco and Piper tried to lift it off and were absolutely unable. They see a train coming in the distance and they go, this is going to be fucking brilliant. We're going to see this train smash through the car. They sat there to watch it and the train just went on some other tracks and they were really disappointed. They were really like, oh, that was going to be great. They get back to the hotel. The police are pretty much waiting for them to sort of go, what's going on? And Bob Orton manages to sneak off and go into his room and he's like, nice, I've got away. So the police are with Morocco and Piper trying to figure out what happens, and Bob Orton tries in his room, he's so pleased to have got in, he wants to go to the loo, so he's got undressed and he opens the door to the bathroom and steps in, and it's not the door to the bathroom, it's the front door of his room. And his door shuts behind him and he's just nude, and so no one quite knows why. But he just decides to attack the policeman. They hit him with a taser. Nothing happens. They hit him with a second taser. He goes down. So just a sort of typical drinking thing. But that image of him being pleased and then managing to lock himself out of his own room naked. And then magic time.
And it's not as if you could come out of your room and sort of go, like the police would go, are you with those guys? Yeah. And you'd be like, no. He'd go, well, you seem to be fucking gigantic.
Yes. This is like only in 86 as well. And there is something funny about that. Again, all of this stuff. If you get tasered by the police, I should think normally you'd get some kind of prison sentence. Because if they've had to tase you, it's because you're being really problematic. Amazing. Just back in 1986, you just go, you're fine. Off you go, you scamps. Don Morocco, again, he looks like Gorilla Monsoon. He looks like one of the Sopranos in this.
He's
getting a bit fatter and a bit greyer. But I tell you what, the first couple of minutes on this, he's great. It's like he's a young, excited. He was always, I think, the knock on Don Morocco, who was a multi-time intercontinental champion. So, you know, he was a high level in the business and certainly a high level in WWF. The knock on him was that he was lazy, that he preferred, he was a bit of a Hawaiian beach bum. He preferred surfing and things like that. So he didn't really dedicate himself to wrestling. But God, some of the stuff he did in the early 80s is absolutely state of the art. Really, really good. And this is his last little hurrah. And actually, it's not a bad match. Dino Bravo match that isn't bad. It's incredible.
So rare.
Yeah, and Frenchy Martin has a sign on him that just says, USA is not okay. And I think that's quite a mild sort of thing to do.
Yeah, it was a very underwhelming flag, wasn't it?
A fan has a sign that says, Pepe Le Pew and power too. No idea what point they are trying to make. Seventh match is a WWF Tag Team Championship, Demolition versus the Hart Foundation.
Yes.
I mean, this is just great.
Yeah.
You know, the Hart Foundation are really, really good. And superstar Billy Graham says, Mr. Fuji is in this match as well, one of the managers. And superstar Billy Graham says the line, the man from Japan, you understand? Great.
Nice. He doesn't put the I'll take that.
Yeah.
Best thing he does in this.
It really is. And this is the crowd reaction in this match is amazing. I mean, just
everyone's kind of, well, I'm not a big fan of Demolition, but I thought everyone else was really good.
Yeah.
Excepting Mr. Fuji, obviously.
You can see that period in the mid 80s where they have the Hart Foundation and the British Bulldogs, and then you get a little later on, you get the Rougeaus.
Mm.
Good tag teams were great. I mean, it was such a golden era for them. Later on, we get the Brainbusters, who are just phenomenal. There's a great match at SummerSlam 89. But I love watching the good tag teams, and sometimes when they have a magic match, this one is really, really worth watching. I mean, there's a bit where Neidhart jumps over the top rope, and at the time, no one had really seen that. He's a big bloke as well.
Yeah,
the crowd go unhinged. So exciting.
Everyone just seemed on form in this whole competition. Whole kind of episode. It's so...
And this is also the sort of start of a three-year period where Bret Hart, every match he's in, is good. Yeah. And you can just see him growing and growing and growing. There's an inevitability about him being the biggest star in the world. Mm. And it just, you can see it here in everything he does. The crowd love him and he's just, he is phenomenally good. Mm. Phenomenally good. Eighth match, Big Boss Man versus Coco Beware.
Yeah.
I love this match. I think this is probably Coco Beware's best pay-per-view match. He's not got very many.
No.
But this was fantastic. You've got this tiny little Coco taking on this great big, you know, repressive police state monster.
Mm.
And the crowd think at some points he might just win. There's one movie does, which is the funniest thing I've ever seen, where the boss man is in the ropes and Coco bounces off the other ropes and you can see him going, what am I going to do? And he just goes, I'm just going to launch myself at his face. And he does that and he just bounces back off him and the boss man is reeling. Both of them are as good as they'll ever be in this match.
Yeah, well,
really good fun.
A big boss man, you sort of find out how fucking gigantic that man is.
Yeah.
I don't know where Big Boss Man and Slick's friendship began.
No.
Because one's a correctional officer, and the other one's a pimp.
Yes.
So
I mean, you can see how they might have met.
Yeah.
In fairness.
Yeah, to be fair.
Know,
yeah.
Again, like Slick with his stable of people he shouldn't have met.
No.
He's a jive-talking pimp. You know, it's never explicitly said he's a pimp.
Yeah.
But I think we can all agree he's portraying
a pimp.
He's got friends who are Bolsheviks, communists, correctional officers, a white man who thinks he's from Africa in a keem. It's just mental. It's absolutely madness.
And when Big Boss Man does Coco. Slick's like, I told him to do that. That was very big of you, Slick.
There's a little bit where Coco Beware does a drop kick off the top rope. And again, nowadays, very, very, you know, standard move. And at the time, you just didn't see those.
Right.
And he does it, and it looks like he executes the boss man. It's just, the boss man's head is, it just seems like it's incredible that it doesn't roll off, like in a cartoon, and just keep rolling. It's such a good little match, this. And it's just, Coco Beware is so heroic, but you know he's never going to win.
Yeah.
And that's something exciting
that's
about that. He's setting the boss man up for better things, but in a weird way, this is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
This is just, and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I enjoyed it.
I couldn't get enough of it.
I enjoyed it immensely.
Match 9 is Jake the Snake Roberts versus Hercules. I'm gonna fess up with you here. I enjoyed the bit where Hercules at the end gets hit with the DDT and then Jake takes ages to roll over, but Herc doesn't kick out because the DDT is so deadly. Great.
Yeah.
The rest of it, I started doing other things.
I
got bored.
I was mainly concentrating on the weird things that the commentators said. Listen to the thundering noise for Jake the Snake Roberts. There wasn't really much thundering noise for Jake the Snake Roberts because we'd seen him before.
That's the problem.
Gorilla tries to say pay-per-view 3 times and fails. He says pay-per-view. Gorilla says Damien the Snake doing what he or she wants to do. I think we've got to take Jake the Snake's word as to what sex Damien is.
I like it because it sounds really modern.
Yeah.
And, like, Gorilla is exactly, like, the one thing I'm not going to do.
Gender fluid snakes.
Look, it's up to the snake, right? Good on you, Gorilla.
Yeah, and
Gorilla is woke.
It was, he really is. It was all very strange. And there was a Thanksgiving night Survivor Series advert, which spooked me out because a lot of tubular bells in wrestling.
Yeah.
And there was just too much tubular bells action. So,
I love all of the music from this era. I would happily listen to it for hour after hour. Then we get to the main event, which is the Mega Powers versus the Mega Bucks. The Mega Powers are Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage.
Mm.
And the Mega Bucks are Andre the Giant and the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Yes, Bobby the Brain starts this by saying, read my lips, humanoid, which really made me laugh. Was that a thing he usually said?
He did used to say humanoid.
Humanoid,
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, there's a funny thing about, like, a lot of wrestlers have terms they use for the fans. So
right.
Fred Blassie used to call them pencil neck geeks.
Yeah.
And he'd use that all the time. But Bobby Heenan, yeah, humanoids.
Yeah.
That
also, Rick Rude is sweat hogs and all that. So,
you fat, out of shape, inner city sweat hogs. So good.
Love
sweat
it.
Hog.
Love
Such
it.
An 80s. That's the sort of thing like an 80s band would be called in a film.
Yes.
We're going to watch the sweat hogs.
they're going to play behind a chicken wire fence.
Yeah.
So people throw whiskey bottles out.
In a biker's bar.
Yeah.
That's it. Gorilla Monsoon says, it's a happening.
Yeah.
For the last time, we've got it, Gorilla, all right? Yeah, we know it's a happening. This is, I loved this match. I loved it. I thought Andre, this is after WrestleMania 4 where Andre is not good. And actually, Andre is great here.
Yeah,
there's a tag team match and he seems to be having really good fun. Jesse Ventura is the special referee. And you can see Andre pushing Jesse a bit in, and he's laughing about bits and bobs and he's just sort of like animated. There's something really nice about it. He does a great bit with his strap where he starts choking Hogan with it. Unusual as well. It's a match where Hogan does a lot of selling and it's actually better.
Yeah.
Better
for it. He actually works harder on, you know, taking the moves. There's a bit in the VT before, Andre the Giant says to Jesse the Body Ventura, "You better pay attention. You better pay attention." And then Million Dollar Man puts some money in Jesse's pocket.
Yeah.
And Jesse's loving it. He's like, "I just love Jesse." I love Jesse at that point. Why is Jesse allowed to wear whatever the fuck he wants, even though he's a referee in this one?
I don't know. I don't
put him
think...
in a you could have judged up a referee's costume quite easily.
Very much so. I can tell you this. I think Jesse is slightly out for himself in all these things. He's not really a massive team player.
No.
I mean, the very fact he tries to organise a union is slightly sort of says that he's a bit of a... He's not just like a company man.
No, yeah.
And I think in this, I just don't think he's a company man. I think they probably said, we'll give you a referee suit. And he'll go, "I'm not wearing that.
I've got a brand.
These cost $40, all of this outfit. I'm not wasting that money.
I spend a lot of money on an ammonium chloride to make this tie-dye shit that I've made.
I mean, he is really good in this, Jesse, as well. There's a good bit at the start where he decides to move the tag ropes. Mm. You don't see tag ropes anymore, but they're always the thing where you had to hold on to that rope at all times to make sure you weren't too far away.
Yeah, yeah.
But he moves them onto other corners. And it's just that thing of, you know, that they're sort of going, he's being truculent.
Yeah,
that makes it sort of exciting. There's a really simple end bit where he's obviously taking this money from the Million Dollar Man because he's a bad guy and he doesn't want to count three. And the Macho Man has to force his hand down and then he looks fucked off. It's just, it's really, really good. They are sweating so much. There's a bit where Ted DiBiase, it looks like he's come out of a swimming pool to be there where he's just dripping. And then they have this end bit with when everything looks as bleak as it can look. Miss Elizabeth, she stands up on the ring and she takes off her skirt.
Yeah, Buck's Fizz style.
Yeah, exactly. Now, at the time, this was the sexiest thing that had ever been seen in wrestling. No one could believe it. And watching it back, she clearly didn't feel that comfortable about it.
No, but to be fair, she never looked very comfortable about anything she ever did in the
she
ring.
She walks down, she takes this dress off and then she walks down and she's... I mean, it's just sort of like bikini bottoms, red bikini bottoms. And she's got a sort of skirt that covers her. Mm. But she looks... like she's full of shame and she does this walk and it's not sexy in any way. And what you get is you get these superstars. You get Jesse and Million Dollar Man and Andre absolutely transfixed at this. I mean, Jesus Christ. Have they never seen a woman? It's not even like a nude woman, just a woman. A woman. And they are so transfixed that everything goes to shit.
Yeah.
And it, oh my God, it's such a disappointing ending.
Yeah, it's so sort of like it takes you out of the actual craft of what these men have created, really.
Yeah, there's a bit where I think just after that, where Randy Savage hits the Savage Elbow, he does it from about three quarters of the ring away.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, it's astonishing the athleticism on that. Mm. It really, I watching all these back, I think we said this really early on, but it just reminds you how great Randy Savage was. I mean, I had no idea I was as big a fan of Randy Savage as I am.
Rewatching the
And he's so good in this bit as well. Mm. They also lay the seeds for next year's WrestleMania, which is WrestleMania 5, where you see Hogan hugging Elizabeth, and just for a moment, Randy Savage is like, "What the fuck's going on here?"
Yeah.
And then it passes. Right. And it's just, they had long, year-long build-ups that they just, all the seeds are just being placed there. Really nice.
Because like all the other shows, because the last few shows we've been doing this, like when wrestling went to shit because of court cases and all that stuff, it's nice to go back and sort of go, yeah, they really had a product, didn't they?
They really did. It was so exciting. There's a bit right at the end, Hogan throws Elizabeth's skirt into the crowd and someone catches it and
I
just want to know where that is now. I mean, that is one of those things that you sort of go, an iconic piece of wrestling history is the dress that Elizabeth pulled off at SummerSlam 88. I should imagine that was thrown out by someone's disgusted mother after about 3 months.
Rigid. under a teenager's bed. Good. So a rather unedifying end to a really fun Yeah. Fucking sure.
Well done, SummerSlam 88.
I'm so glad we did this one, to be quite frank.
I really, really, really enjoyed it. Actually, I would go as far to say it is worth watching this.
Yeah.
It really is. It's not been
you
a waste
work
of
for
time.
The network, mate. So thank you for joining us once again for another Wrestle Me. We will be back next week with,
we're going to be doing,
Another SummerSlam.
Another SummerSlam. I think we're going to be doing, I think we're going to do it in order. We're going to do 89.
Oh, okay. Yes. Little summer treat for you guys.
You will like 89 because it's all the bad things that we like to talk about.
Yay! Woo! Does anyone take their dress off?
No, but there is a man with a bad eye.
Oh.
Yes. You're going to enjoy that.
It's, I think
he had a retinal problem since childhood.
Oh.
Probably not the best sell for the next episode.
I thought Hacker had got involved. Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Peter.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.